I told you or mentioned it, referred to it. This is going to be different. I'll tell you why in a moment. How many of you are note takers? Oh, brother. Everybody, get your pencil out. You're going to take notes this morning. The ushers are passing out note sheets. I told my wife you're going to have pew litter up to yin yang this week, but we're going to have note sheets. Everybody who can write gets one. There's 80 of them. So if we run out, I don't think we will. Everybody who can write, and if you don't want to, just pass them on. I don't care. But this is also a time for you if you did not bring a Bible. The coat rack back there is full of Bibles. You're going to need a Bible. Did you bring one? If you didn't, get up and go get one. Bring two or three. Somebody else is going to need one. All right, good. Everybody got a Bible that wants one? Guys are coming with two or three back there, so raise your hand if you would like a Bible and don't have one. Are there any extra Bibles? We need one here. Jeremy's got one. Pastor asked me probably 3 months ago, thanks guys, I appreciate your help, ushers, and for those of you who brought extra Bibles in, thank you. Pastor asked me about 3 months ago if I would do this. He was going to district conference, and I said, well, sure, why not? Yeah, no problem. Well, I didn't think of it at that time, and I didn't realize it at that time, that I would be in the middle of summer harvest. And summer harvest at my place has not gone well at all this year, and I haven't had time to prepare a sermon. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. I don't get paid for this. I know. In the budget, those of you who know what's on the budget, there's a line for pulpit supply. I don't take pulpit supply. I don't. Years ago, I decided, you know, everybody else is doing so much for the church. Why can't I donate some time to the church? And so I do. 3 weeks ago, I spent 2.5 days. I'm telling you this because I feel sorry for myself. I spent 2.5 days getting ready for that thing in the office. 2.5 days. I didn't get paid for that. Do you feel better? I feel better. I told you. No, I don't get paid for this. I don't want to. And so if you don't like this, tough. It's not costing you a nickel. Pastor said, I told him, sure, I'd be glad to. I made a commitment to the Lord years ago. If God asked me to preach, if someone asked me to preach, I'll be glad to. When people quit asking, I'll know, hey, my time is up. I'm done. But until that happens, I'll do it. Well, this did not turn out. The timing did not turn out well. And so I did not prepare a message. I do not have a message prepared. I started 2 weeks ago. I thought I had my topic, and I was working on it in my head all the time, and towards the first part of this week, I don't know what you think about this, but I heard the Lord say, no, that's not what you're doing. I said, fine, show me what I'm doing then. And I worked all week coming up with a topic. And I worked and I worked and I struggled and got in at 11 from the field and then worked till 1 and it just, nothing there. And I remembered something. Imagine that, a guy my age. I remembered something. Isaiah 55, you don't need to look this up. It's not on your note sheet. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. God speaking. So is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is why I said bring your Bible. This is why I said if you don't have a Bible, go get one. What I say doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't. I've preached some pretty good sermons in my day. This isn't one of them, but I've preached some pretty good ones. Didn't amount to nothing. You know, we have a... Arlen, are we recording now? Make sure we're on. Okay. We have a really great pastor. Don't we? Nod your head. I see two heads nodding, Pastor. I see him. No, there's more than that. And there are a lot of great Christian speakers on the radio and different ministries. There's a lot of them out there. But did you know that God does not promise one of them that their words would last forever? God only says that about his word. My word will accomplish what I intend for. He doesn't promise that to anybody else, but only to God's word. That is why God's word is so important. Not sitting in these seats for a half an hour to hear what somebody else has to say. That is not important. Oh, we maybe have ways to polish it and to shift it and make it applicable to us. But God's word is important. This morning, what we're going to do is a Bible study. I hope you like Bible studies. If you don't, I'm sorry. Not really. This is what we're going to do. If you have a piece of paper, that yellow piece of paper, and you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Now, I didn't get the page number on this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, New Testament. And I don't say that frivolously. Some of you I know do not know the Bible. I know that. And that's no big curse or anything. A lot of people don't know the Bible. That's fine. You need to get to know it. You need to know what God says. And if you don't, you'll be amazed. 3 weeks ago, we talked about living in the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And so when I realized that I wasn't going to be preaching on that, I realized I wasn't going to have a sermon on the Spirit, I said, okay, Lord, but what scripture do we have that I can use along that line, living in the Spirit? And Romans 8 is the scripture that the Lord seemed to give me. But I want to read this ahead of it. And this is on your note sheet, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body, are you listening? Do you not know that your body, the skin and bones that you walked into church with, the body that you're sitting in. That's not your soul. It's not who you are. It's your body, okay? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? If you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior this morning, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. Is that a revelation to any of you? The Holy Spirit, this moment, is living in your body. Write that down on your note sheet if you didn't notice it. Some of you didn't know that. Some of you thought, what I do with my body is my own business. Actually, no, if you're a Christian, no, it isn't just your business. Somebody else lives there, not just you. The Holy Spirit lives in your body. See? Buller knows nothing, but the Bible knows everything. Don't listen to me. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, turn to Romans chapter 8 if you've not already. Romans chapter 8 has about five promises that we in the Christian faith have grown up on. I've been in the church since the age of 9. Some of you have not been in the church that long. Some of you have been in the church just a few years, or maybe a year. Maybe you're here just checking it out today. Some of you have been in the faith longer than that, longer than I have. These are some of the promises that I grew up on when I was Selah and some of these younger kids' age. When I was at camp, I heard some of these promises. I didn't understand them, but I remember hearing them. And these are promises. There's about five of them in here, and they're, I think, three or four of them are on your note sheet. But the first one is there at the very top. Again, this is a Bible study, okay? So don't get bent out of shape if this doesn't sound like a sermon. This is a Bible study. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, and you have to read chapter 7 if you want to know what therefore means, okay? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't raise your hands if you don't want to, but I will. How many of you, when you were saved, still felt guilty for your sin? Still felt like, what happened? Nothing happened. I still feel like a jerk. And that's why we need this scripture. When you're saved, there's not necessarily this big emotional thing. Oh, wow, I'm clean and white and snowflakes and doves and whoop-de-doo. No, you're not necessarily going to have that. But you do have God's word. And God's word says, now there is no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. Wow, ladies and gentlemen, can you get a grasp on that? You're sitting in this seat, in your seat this morning. You are a sinner, as black and yucky and just as filthy as can be, but God sees his blood. And he says, you are mine. I saved you. No matter what you look like to the rest of the world. I see my blood, the blood of my son is what I see. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're like me and you raised your hand and felt terrible after you were saved, I felt terrible this week when I said something I shouldn't have said when my combine plugged up for the eighth time. That's not supposed to come out of my mouth. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to say stuff like that. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody want to say hallelujah? Amen. We're sinners, but God sees his blood. Aren't you glad for that this morning? I can't see. You got all teared up, brother. Mom said, don't lose your tender heart. Well, okay, Mom. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless, this is Romans 8 if you're following along. For what the law was powerless to do, that it was weakened by what? Weakened by God's short arm? Weakened because God didn't have the muscles? No, it was weakened by sin. The law that thou shalt, the Ten Commandments, you know all of those, right? All of you read Leviticus this week. I know you did. And all of those laws and all that stuff in there is what he's talking about here. The law was unable to do this because of our sinful nature. God did it, though, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man. I don't know if you're going to understand this. I don't. This is NIV. If you read this from the King James, you're really going to be confused. I don't understand all of this. I want you to know something, though, and I'll ask it as a question. How many of you have read the Bible at one time or other in your life and laid it down and thought, well, that was a waste of time. I didn't get anything out of it. I see Vicky. I see you. Yeah. Well, me too, Vicky. Yes. How many times do you think I read Romans 8 getting ready for today? I probably read it 15 times just sitting there reading it over and over and over again. How many of the rest of you have read Leviticus that many times? Or Romans 8? That is the only way to get this, people, is to read it and read it again and read it again and read it again and read it again. And then when you go out on your week next Thursday or whenever, the Holy Spirit is going to say, remember what that said? Remember that verse? Remember what you learned in Sunday school? Remember what you learned? That's what the Holy Spirit does with what you've put in your mind, what you have done with God's Word. You can't read this one time and say, well, that was a waste of time, and then expect the Holy Spirit to do His work. He can't do His job because you didn't do yours. I don't understand all of this, but I understand a lot more than I did Monday because I've read it so many times. Good grief, about wore it out. No, really, I've read it many times and I still don't get it all. In order that, this is verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. In Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. You men, how many of you have a slow walking wife? Isn't that awful? How many of you, men, raise your hands. Your wives walk slow, unless it's in a mall. Okay, they don't walk slow in a mall. And you're walking across the yard, you're trying to carry on a conversation, and you're just, it's crazy. My wife walks slow in the yard, but in the mall, she's going 100 miles an hour. I don't get it. Sorry, dear. But it says, keep in step with the Spirit. I'm not sure I fully understand that, but what it's meaning is, walk the same speed as the Spirit does. Stay in line with Him. What are you doing racing through life without the Spirit, leaving Him way behind? I don't understand all this. I'll read it again. Maybe I'll get more of it. But let's keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit's living in us, remember? So let's keep in step with Him. This is in Galatians chapter 5, not Romans 8. Going back now to Romans 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. For years, I told you a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I've battled anger. I can't explain why. I can't explain why God hasn't removed it from me, because I've prayed for years that God would take away the anger that I have. It's getting better, but I still have it, some of it. And I've wondered, why is this part of me still controlled by the sinful nature? I have the Holy Spirit living in me. God's Word says it. It's not me. I didn't say it. Why do I still have problems with anger? The sinful mind is hostile to God, it says, and cannot submit to God's law. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And for years I have wondered, every time I blew my stack, oh, now God's mad at me. Now God's mad. Just well go to bed without praying. He won't listen to me anyway. And that was Satan telling me that, because God was not mad. But God knew about my sinful nature. Then I go to verse 9. Wow. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Do you remember Paul and Donna Decker? A lot of you don't, because they were here quite a while ago, and some of you have joined the church and been part of the church since then. Paul and Donna Decker were evangelists. They traveled around, did a tremendous job. They were wonderful, wonderful people. And Paul had a way of saying things that just really, really cuts you right to the heart. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I can just hear Paul Decker saying, and I don't know why, but I can hear him saying, do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? If I could look every one of you in the eye, I would. I can't do it that fast. Do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ? You in the back row can't see your eyes real good, but do you belong to Christ? Do you? Hallelujah! Somebody answered. Because if you don't, none of this makes any difference to you. But if you do, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, in prayer you have said, yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, then listen to this. You are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is in you, and He is, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior. This is where Paul Decker would go into tears, because he was so passionate about people being in Christ. I don't know why I thought of him during that little part, but I sure did. But if Christ is in you, now this I don't understand. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. I'm not going to read that again because I'm running out of time, but you read that again today. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. Remember Galatians 5, 19 and 21? 3 weeks ago, I read that whole awful list. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, you know that list. You know, there's one in there that I'm going to call attention to. It goes on, idolatry, witchcraft. I want to see your hand, and I'm serious about this. How many of you know any witches? Okay, a few of you. Most of us, when we hear the word witch or hear the name witch, it's either used derogatorily, if that's a word, oh, you witch, type thing, or it's used in a term for Halloween, kind of a gimmick type thing, oh, yeah, she's dressed as a witch. But I don't know how many of you remember, and this is not political, so don't take it that way, but I don't know how many of you remember when President Trump was elected, the American Society of Witches vowed that they were going to put curses on President Trump because they hated him so bad. Did you hear this in the news? If you don't listen to CBN, maybe you didn't see it. But there was article after article on Christian Broadcasting Network of the Witches Society of America and what they were going to do to President Trump through all these curses and voodooish things that they were going to do to him. It's working. Have you noticed all the grief he's had? This is not jokes. This is not funny. Satan is real and witchcraft is real. But this word witch doesn't translate real well from the Greek. I am not a Greek scholar. Anybody guess that already? I am not a Greek person, or a Hebrew person for that matter. But I have a book that is. And I have it on my computer. And I looked up this word, witchcraft. It's not what you would think. We think of it as spells and, oh, my little pretty from Wizard of Oz, you know, that little witchy thing, that type of thing. Not at all. This is from Strong's. If you have ever looked at Strong's reference commentary type thing, the word number in Strong's, and I wrote this all down, is 5331. Strong's takes every word in Scripture, every word, every word, and gives it a number. And the number relates in their dictionary. This word, I'm not going to say it right, pharmakei is what it is. It's not witchcraft in the Hebrew, it's pharmakei. You know what it is, don't you, Alicia? I'll bet you do. Pharmakei. Think, what does that sound like? Pharmakei. If you guessed pharmacy, you're right. Pharmakei. What do you think of when you think of pharmacy? Drugs. Pharmakei. You go on to the next word. I got it written down here too. It's called pharmakos, I believe, is what how you would pronounce it. Pharmakeos. It's a spell-giving potion. Or a poison. Do you know what that is? It's the illegal drug trade. When you read here all the things that are the acts of the sinful nature and it says witchcraft, it's not talking about the little ladies they dressed up in black outfits. It's talking about the drug trade. Illegal drugs, illegal use of drugs. And then, of course, the list goes on and on. But I thought that was interesting. I thought, well, maybe somebody would like that insight, that the Bible is very real. And when he's talking about witches, he's taught witchcraft, he's talking about what we're experiencing in this day and age right now. And then it goes on, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. I noticed in there that anger was in there. I didn't like it, but it was there. But then I want to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Are you there? For if you live according to the sinful nature, that whole list, you will die. Isn't that wonderful? Physically, we're going to die anyway. Physically, we're all going to die. I don't care if you're 85 or if you're 105, 95, we're all going to die. I'm looking forward to heaven, to be honest with you. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. He doesn't mean physical death. It means separation from God, separation from the source of life. You're going to be separated from God if you live according to the sinful natures. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but to receive the spirit of sonship. Particularly the younger people, and I hope the adults in here, I hope you've got this by now. I want to make something clear, because if you haven't heard this, you're going to be shocked. There are forces at work within the church that are going to take words out of the Bible like father, like son. They're going to take words out of the Bible that refer anything to gender. They. It won't be he. It will be something else did this. That's coming. I can't even believe it, but it's coming. And for those of you younger ones, particularly you girls, the Bible often talks about being sons of God. And that's what this is here. You are sons of God. I want you girls to know you are not left out of this. Because sons of God does not refer to gender. It refers to the race of man. The race of humanity. Any place where you see in here that it says the son or sons of God is talking about children of God. You need to understand that. If you don't know the Bible very well, you need to understand that it is not gender proclaimed. The Bible is very gender neutral, except where he's talking about a personal man or a woman. These promises are for you, no matter what you are. And I want you to make sure you know that. I can get shot for that. Thank you, Rodney. Rodney's back there. He's watching. You can get shot for proclaiming stuff like this in the church today. You can get shot for proclaiming that the Bible does not need to be adjusted to be neutral in gender. We don't need that because it isn't that way. God loves all of these. These promises are for all of us, men and women, boys and girls. Verse 14, those of you who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by that we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are... This is on your note sheet. I'm not following it very close. If you are sons of God, you are heirs. Can you grasp that? You are heirs. What did you say in the Apostles' Creed? Where is Jesus right now? He's living in our hearts, I know. But where is he seated? At the right hand of the Father. And it says here that if Jesus is the Son, then so are we. We are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. Did you get that? That's who you are, Jesse. That's awesome. If indeed, we don't like this. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. Remember, Pastor last week talked about the glory? Remember that? If we share and also share in his glory. If I can, I'm going to read through the rest of chapter 8. And I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut otherwise. Okay? That's tough for a farmer who likes to preach. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God. Please don't miss that if you happen to be a woman. Don't think that as a son. For the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by his own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time, right up till now. Earthquakes and volcanoes and all that stuff that's going on. The earth is groaning. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Did you know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying for you right now? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of His Father, and the Holy Spirit is there somewhere. I don't understand all of that. But they are before the throne, before God Almighty, and they are saying, yeah, I know Myron screwed up this week. I know it. But Jesus is saying, but Father, my blood was shed for him. And the Holy Spirit is saying, but Father, he's human. He has this sin nature. Just like Moses, if you have read the story of Moses, God said, get out of the way, Moses. These people have just filled me to the top. I will not take any more from these Israelites. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses got in God's face, and he said, Wait, God, not yet. That's what Jesus and that's what the Holy Spirit are doing for you and for me right now. They're interceding for you and me. But Father, they bear your image. Father, I bled for them. Father, I'm living in that person right now. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are praying for you. I'm out of time. You're going to have to read the rest of Romans 8 yourself. I don't know if there's any more questions that aren't filled out on that sheet or not. But this is a Bible study. This isn't a message. So I'd encourage you to go home and finish Romans 8. When you get done with Romans 8, go on to Romans 9. When you get done with Romans 9, go on to Romans 10. When you get done with Romans, go to John. When you get done with John, go to Matthew. I encourage you to read Leviticus. It's boring, but it's God's word. And you need to read it. And you need to read it again. And you need to read it again.